This is Kate Harness with 307net Radio, and today I'm joined by Bill Hawley. Hello, Bill.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. So you are the County Prevention Manager for Johnson County here, and I know you wear a number of hats and have a bunch of different initiatives that you are steering and guiding, but today we're going to talk about suicide, which is something that is very prevalent in Wyoming. It's a phenomenon that, you know, we have the dubious reality that Wyoming has the highest suicide rate in the nation, and that is a persistent trend, and that is not just masked by our low population numbers, it is actually the statistics per capita of suicides. And so, you know, that's a big issue, and it has huge emotional consequences for anybody that it comes close to, whether you're a family member or you have a friend and so on. Suicide is a very difficult issue for many people to understand and come to terms with and adjust to. Previously we've spoken many times just between ourselves about what could be the cause of this, but your job really is to help find solutions to this very high suicide rate, and that has also been a topic of conversation in the Wyoming legislature this session, and there were some initiatives in hand that legislators were able to move forward on, hoping to address this. And also Governor Gordon has publicly stated on numerous occasions that he wishes to do whatever possible to reduce our suicide rate to something. There is never an acceptable number, but to something which is much less alarming. So one part of that is something called the suicide hotline, known as 988 suicide line, and that was something that the legislature also debated. But we have some good news. Maybe you'd like to share what that is with us about the suicide hotline and the numbers that are coming out from data.
Thank you, Kate. Certainly. So 988 was formerly 1-800-273-8255, which no one can really remember, 11 digits. Mm-hmm. And now it is 988. And just to clarify, that National Suicide Prevention Lifeline has been around for several years. Now with 988, a number like 911 that we can remember, we are, you know, certainly encouraged that as one resource that people can reach out if they're sitting with someone in crisis, now this is a tangible thing that we have.
Or themselves are in crisis.
Or if they are in crisis, it is a resource that they can have. And so to backtrack just a little bit, historically, it's been years that Wyoming has gone without a call center in Wyoming for Wyoming for, again, this is a national lifeline network of call centers in all 50 states now, including Wyoming. It's not one big national call center where all the calls go to. It's dozens of call centers. And so Wyoming spent years not having its own call center or centers.
So does that mean if you were calling, you could end up speaking to somebody in Arkansas or California?
The way that works is this national lifeline network of call centers. If a call center in your state is busy, you might be put on hold for a while until the next available operator at that call center is available, or you'll get transferred to, there are six backup call centers in the nation. Fort Lauderdale, Florida is one. I think the closest one to us is at Boys Town in just outside of Omaha, Nebraska. And so that's not the best case scenario for someone in Wyoming. When we didn't have any, it would go to one of these other states who, you know, wonderful people operating these lifelines, wonderful counselors and crisis counselors who are answering the calls, but they don't know Wyoming culture, or they don't know Wyoming resources. And so now, today, we have two call centers in Wyoming. Thanks in large part to Governor Gordon's insistence and pushing through some funding for these and the ARPA funding for them as well, some key legislative leaders as well. And so we have two call centers, one in Grable, Wyoming, called the Wyoming Lifeline, the second one at Central Wyoming Counseling Center in Casper. They're operating collectively together. They cover all 24 hours of the day, 7 days a week, 365 days of the year. And that's a resource that is a critical piece. We have to have call centers in Wyoming that know Wyoming culture, that speak Wyoming when someone from Wyoming is calling saying, hey. And in addition, if you're calling from KC, Wyoming, the knowledge of what are the local resources available? What's the number for the community mental health center here in Buffalo? So having those connections, local connections, serving local people with local resources, that's the other piece of it. So, you know, when you hear 988 thrown around, it's more than just a crisis line for suicide prevention and for other crisis. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be suicidal to call it. You could be despondent and really having a really bad day without thoughts of suicide, but let's have a conversation way upstream. It is more than just that. It is a system, and that's part of what is included in House Bill 65 that you referenced with our legislature, that although, as Governor Gordon signed it, I think probably wishing it had funding in it, or at least I believe he said so, as much.
So the what does actually, let's explain what House Bill 65 actually includes. What does it cover?
So the piece that I'm very hopeful about is not only does it codify the fact that we need Wyoming call centers, mm-hmm. and it sets up a trust fund as well, so potentially a funding mechanism, which the bringers of that bill wanted to put $40 million from the Rainy Day Fund into it for sustainable funding. You know, knowing that there's funding in the next year, the year after that, you know, that would be lovely. That hasn't happened yet. But the other key piece for me, Kate, is that still in that bill that the bringers brought and that many stakeholders, including folks from the Mining Association, from business standpoints, from Andy Somerville with the Wyoming Association of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Centers, many others, you know, what else is the term is a crisis response team. So if someone is having suicidal thoughts in whatever county, or if someone is in a crisis situation, let's not depend 100% on law enforcement to respond to that. But what would a crisis response team look like? Perhaps with a mental health professional, perhaps with trained individuals to go and assist that. So again, the idea of a lifeline is, yes, for people who maybe are despondent and thinking about suicide to call, but more often than not, it's for me and my community because I've noticed that my friend, Kate, is really struggling. And I've asked her the question, you know, sometimes, Kate, when you're struggling with all these things and life is really hard, sometimes people who find themselves in that situation, they're thinking about suicide. I'm wondering if that's what you're thinking about. Oh, crap, the answer is yes. Now what do I do mm-hmm. at 2 o'clock in the morning? Kate, is it okay if we call this 988 number? There's a crisis counselor. Let's see how they can help us. And so it's connection, it's resources. And so if it's a critical situation, what would a crisis response team look like for Johnson County? Maybe that's a regional crisis response team. I don't know. And I'm going to step right into it. Title 25 doesn't work. The last thing someone who's thinking about suicide needs is to be put in handcuffs and taken to jail. It doesn't work. We need a better solution. And I don't think County Attorney Ruby or our county commissioners or anyone else would argue with me that Title 25, as it currently sits, works. Certainly, I know this from my lived experience. It doesn't work for people who are struggling.
So all it does is protect, what you're saying is that all that it does is protect somebody for the time that they're in custody, but it doesn't actually provide any solutions to the problem or the crisis at that particular time. So do we know whether the suicide hotline does work? Is it busy? Is it busy?
Thanks, Kate. That's a great question. And that also is what brings hope in that in 2021, the unfortunate
which is the post-COVID year, of course, right? Just to be obvious for a mm-hmm. moment, but yes.
Well, I don't think we'll ever be completely post-COVID, but things are returning.
Period.
Yep. So in 2021, the unfortunate reality is that in Wyoming, we lost 182 lives to suicide.
Was that a massive jump from 2020 or 2019 or whatever? It's just been a steady increase?
So, no, it hasn't been a steady increase. Actually, it's been fairly stagnant, and Wyoming has been number one. So it's been in that 179 to 100 area for a few years. We actually saw a little bit of, I mean, again, in Wyoming, low population state, statistically, a couple dozen deaths one way or the other, whether it's infant mortality or whether it's suicide deaths, that can make those statistics really skewed. The other thing that I need to say is that when it comes to suicide, that number in 2021, 182, those numbers have names.
Of course they do.
And we in our community know them. You know, here in Johnson County, these last few years have been tough. We've had five or six suicides a year these last few years. And we know them, and we know their families. And so that's always the really heart-wrenching part about talking about suicide and talking about suicide prevention is that Kate, I used to say suicide affects most of us. It affects all of us now.
Yes, it does. And I think, you know, knowing a little bit about those families that were impacted by those handful of suicides, which do not feel like a small number at all, there was no typical. They were no. Very, very different types of people who had all found themselves at a point of crisis where they felt there was no other option for them.
Right.
And living in a family that has been had to live through, to be put through that experience is extremely difficult for a very prolonged period of time, if not forever. And I think, you know, we can get lost in the data. And just
yes.
To give some context to that, though, you know, how serious this is for Wyoming. Wyoming's suicide rate is about 28 per 100,000 people, roughly that. Other states in the nation, their average is about 14. So we're seeing over double.
Mm-hmm.
And we all recognize we live in small communities here. And, you know, as we say, we're one big town kind of joined by multiple roads. And yep. So the ripple effects of those things feel very intense. And
absolutely.
It is a tremendous emotional burden in many different ways. But there is good news.
And the good news is, Kate, that the preliminary numbers for Wyoming from the Wyoming Department of Health for 2022 are that we had 149 deaths by suicide. That's a 22% decrease, which in 15 years of doing this work and trying to make change or helping make change happen with a lot of incredible people, that's a huge drop, 22% drop to 149. And so, again, statistically, that's significant. And it also gives us hope, doesn't it? And having those call centers, getting back to that, they fielded over 10,000 calls in 2023 since January. 10,000 calls.
10,000
calls. 10,000 calls. And so the hope is, again, really want to make this clear, suicides didn't decline by 22% from 2021 to 2022 simply because we have these two call centers. Is that one piece of the solution, one piece of the puzzle in how do we save lives? How do we reach people when they're just having suicidal thoughts as opposed to suicidal behaviors and actions? Absolutely it is. Wyoming for Wyoming. We ride for the brand, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We watch out, you know, we tend each other's fences. And this is, for me, my generalized solution to suicide prevention in Wyoming is the better we are connected in community, the better we know the resources, and the better we're willing to step out with a little courage and a little confidence to have a really hard conversation with someone when we see them struggling. That's how we save lives. That's how we get to people when they're just having thoughts of suicide before it's a crisis situation and they are planning and acquiring lethal means, perhaps diving into substance abuse as well. And so, you know, there are things that we can do in community to be better educated. And that's all about decreasing stigma. So oftentimes, Kate, in the past, you and I have talked about suicide prevention is this two-sided coin. How do we decrease stigma, which means we're talking about it. We're having conversations about it. And certainly one thing that came out of our legislative session, lots of conversations about mental health and suicide. And then secondarily, how do we increase help-seeking behavior?
So when you say decrease stigma, what do you mean? You mean, you don't mean just talking more about suicide. You mean talking more about people who just feel despondent, depressed, unhappy, miserable, that the pressures of their life are just too much, that leads them to a place that they feel that there is no alternative other than to remove themselves permanently. Is that what you're saying?
That's one piece of that. I mean, decreasing stigma also is simple things like, let's talk about brain health the same way we talk about any other organ health, heart health or diabetes or lung disease. Let's also, you know, part of that decreasing stigma, increasing help-seeking behavior also means, you know, people deal with depression and anxiety, but they're not signs of weakness. It's just where they're at in that time. Or because of their life situation being so terrible, so crappy, Dr. Joyner talks about suicide thinking, starting with this notion of I could, right? I could. And then you throw in hopelessness, helplessness, lack of resources, lack of access to care, stigma, right? I'm less of a man if I'm going to see a mental health professional. We need to change that narrative.
So what have been some of the things that have been going on? Because you don't answer calls for the helpline, do you, Bill?
I don't.
Okay, so you're doing other things. What are the other things that you are doing that kind of tackle the issue of this despondency that leads to suicide?
And so one of the great things, and this isn't a Bill doing, I mean, I like to think that I'm an advocate for mental health, is simply during, we'll go back to the legislative session. So some good things that happened there were interstate compacts for mental health professionals. There are a couple different bills. So a therapist in Colorado doesn't need to have a Wyoming license to do telehealth with someone from, let's say, Bags, Wyoming.
And I know that our local VOA here, and we've talked to them before about suicide, they offer telehealth too. And for many people, that may be not only practical, but also appealing. You don't have to put your car outside, you know, a mental health facility and go in and have your appointment and get the help you need. You can do it privately and quietly, you know, in your
Absolutely.
Own time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm glad that you brought up VOA, the Volunteers of America, mm-hmm. who... merged with formerly our community mental health center, Northern Wyoming Mental Health. And since that merger and since they've kind of gotten the ball rolling, I would be less than transparent if I didn't say they are really working at it and they are getting staff on board again. You know, again, I consider her a friend, but getting Shannon Seipert back in our community again as the lead clinician there at VOA, working on getting more professionals, Rhiannon Fowler as a case manager. These are the resources that people need when they're struggling. And so Rhiannon is a case manager. She can help folks navigate whatever the difficulty is. And that doesn't have to be mental health necessarily and suicide, but those kinds of things. And so kudos. And again, our local Suicide Prevention Coalition, as we talk about it, we're very hopeful because we're seeing progress. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we're blessed because Tyler Broderick remains, and he's been through a lot, and he's a great blessing. And so when you ask, what is that whole, again, this idea of we don't prevent suicide like we go to Staples and press a button and we get what we need. It is a multifaceted, multidimensional issue, public health issue, that requires multidimensional approaches. And so, again, decreasing stigma and increasing help-seeking behaviors are things as simple as awareness events and having people talk about it, whether that's the Hike for Hope coming up in June where loss survivors and attempt survivors can gather and their friends as well can gather in mutual support because no one is alone. So it could be things like that. It could be things like Lorraine Steppy at the Pines Counseling has stepped forward, no pun intended, Lorraine, if you listen to this, but a step forward, and she and I, with Wes Hartman, are going to restart the Survivors of Suicide Loss Support Group in April. And I'll give you some information on that as
well. And I'll make sure that that's linked to this audio. And I'd also just like to remind listeners that 307 Net Radio did an interview with Volunteers of America, and we talk about in that about all the services that are available. So if you wanted to know more about them, you can go back and listen to that too.
Outstanding. And, you know, so again, when we think about increasing access to care, kind of the opposite approach to that is how do we remove those barriers? And the myth, there are lots of myths around mental health and suicide, but one of them is, I can't afford it. Well, there are ways to get around that dollar issue, because so often the fear of not being able to financially afford health care, like, Kate, if I broke my leg and I didn't think I could afford to go to the ER, would that stop me? No, I still need to get my broken leg taken care of. And so that is a myth. And like Kate mentioned, VOA has a sliding scale. They'll work with folks who come there. Many of our private providers in town will do so as well. And so, you know, how can we get that word out? That unless you make a call and find out what's out there and available, we just don't know. We just don't know.
Given all these initiatives that are going on, and there are many initiatives, we're not the only community. Johnson County is not the only community where there is a lot of effort and activity going on in a whole range of different ways. I mean, I recall seeing a program that you've been involved with for ranchers, crusty old ranchers who maybe...
Agri-stress,
absolutely. And, you know, it is a stressful occupation too, and a stressful lifestyle. It may be isolated financially, it's got tougher, much tougher, and so on. And there's a specific program for them too. Are you feeling more hopeful about suicide prevention generally, or is it too early to just to take this data and of a 22% decrease, which I think, you know, maybe we should speak about this, and I'd like your opinion, is, you know, for every person who actively manages to be successful in a suicide attempt, how many more people are there who are just miserable, who haven't either quite got there or don't want to quite get there but are just grinding?
Right. And, it, you know, there's really, I mean, I always cringe a little bit with the word success around suicide, because there's nothing successful about suicide. No. And language matters, you know, like we're trying to get away from that verb commit and use the phrase, my friend died by suicide. Mm-hmm. I actually, like, as I've talked with a lot of people, you know, when someone dies by cancer, what's the phrase we use? They lost their battle. They lost their struggle to cancer. My friend dealt with their depression for 30 years. Couldn't live like this anymore.
Succumbed.
They succumbed, or they lost their battle to their brain health concern. And so, absolutely, Kate. I mean, I think, again, getting back to the ASSIST model, that's one more piece of the puzzle. ASSIST is Applied Suicide Intervention Skills that anyone can learn. You've taken it.
I have, and I would honestly, I will say, you know, it was one of the most positive and meaningful trainings I think that I can remember doing. Certainly really helped me feel that I could be practical and supportive and helpful should I encounter somebody who really was not doing well.
To have a conversation and then to connect with resources, mm-hmm. right? And so again, that's a big piece of it. Your question about is, you know, those who are just out there struggling, that life is hard for right now, without any suicidal thoughts. But that might lead, should that continue, should that depression persist, should that struggle persist, could get to that point of I could. What are we doing for them? And again, that's upstream prevention. And so knowing what the resources are, a big piece of that for me as well is, let's fund and staff our mental health and substance abuse centers the same way we fund the traditional health centers, right? It's a struggle. So, you know, it's everything from, let's pay our mental health professionals on a scale the way we pay our docs at Johnson County Healthcare Center, etc., so that we can keep them here. And
do we have enough resources in Johnson County?
You know, again, kudos to VOA. We are definitely getting there. We are definitely getting there. Getting people to those resources is a role that you and I and everyone else in Johnson County can play. And so from a prevention standpoint, let's make sure people are aware of those resources. I mean, whether I have a flat tire in KC or in Buffalo, anyone could tell me where to get that flat tire fixed, probably. In KC, I'd go to Tommy Knapp, naturally. But, and if someone is struggling, do we know what the resources are? Do we know how to connect? And it's, again, I think that's something that we all, as people who love our community, that's something we all can work at. Do we all know where to turn to if someone is experiencing domestic violence and or sexual assault? I do. You do. But it doesn't hit you until you're in it. And now it's like, oh, crap, what do I do? Who can we turn to? So connection, community connection is important. Maybe they don't have the answer, but, hey, I know this person. Oh, there's Dawn and Carol and over at the Family Crisis Center. That's a resource. And that's part of, you asked about initiatives. So locally, the JC16 Wellness Alliance, we've kind of resurrected that. Carrie Packard at DFS and Kasan Masson at Compass Center for Families and Julia Bettinger at the Johnson County Healthcare Center. We just started having a conversation. Hey, we used to do this before COVID. Let's bring it back. And simply what the Wellness Alliance is, a gathering of folks who care about their community to, here's my three C's, to let's communicate about it. Here's what's happening. Here's what we see are the needs. Here's what this agency is doing, whether it's Friends Feeding Friends or Clear Creek Wood Bank. You know, I would wonder, do you think everyone in Buffalo knows about the wood bank that the Land O'Sells and others are doing? Probably not. It's a great resource to help people. So it's just, you know, let's communicate about it. Let's figure out ways to cooperate and collaborate to work better together. What a novel approach. Working together for a safer, healthier, more compassionate community. So that's one of the other things. But it's about community. Oftentimes I think that when it comes to health care issues, we think it's up to the professional. For me, with mental health and suicide prevention, it starts with you and I. It starts with noticing, recognizing that someone's struggling, and then knowing what the formal resources are in community. We can all sit with someone to keep them safe until something's figured out. That's something that we all have the ability to do.
So going back full circle to the beginning of our conversation about the 988 helpline. Mm,
thank you.
Is it just for people themselves who feel in crisis? Or if I felt that there was somebody that I was aware of, can I call and get advice from them as well?
Yes. Yes and yes. And so, like I think I said before, that 988 is for anyone, and it doesn't have to be imminent suicidality. It is anonymous, absolutely, unless people, you know, oftentimes people choose to give their names, mm-hmm. Because that's our first human connection, is it? Hi, my name's Bill. Oh, my name's Kate. That's our first piece of human connection. But really, my belief is that it's a resource for you who are trying to help someone. Because it's available 24/7, 365. The other thing is, it's not your next door neighbor that you're seeking help from. It is someone who you probably have never met before, either in Casper or Grable.
And may never encounter again.
May never encounter, right? And honestly, just a little segue, that's why the crisis text line is very popular, especially with younger.
So what is the text
younger line? Adult. So the crisis text line is also a national resource that people can use for any type of crisis, whether it's a mental health crisis or maybe an abuse situation, gambling addiction, and that's simply text HELP or START or YO, W-Y-O. I use that because people can remember YO better than some of the other words. And it's just text YO to 741-741. And it's pretty quick. Usually within a minute, a trained crisis counselor will text you back and say something like, what's the nature of your concern tonight? Or
so you don't actually have to be in crisis.
No.
It doesn't have to be an acute moment.
Right.
It can just be a concern.
At 100%. And again, going back to what we've talked about previously in this conversation and others, the further upstream we are, before someone gets to crisis, before, again, suicide prevention, let's have a conversation when it's just suicidal thinking and not suicidal behavior and action. I want to have a conversation before you start planning on how you're going to end your life. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. So, and, you know, statewide, it's so encouraging to have a governor like Governor Mark Gordon, who's placed a priority on mental health and suicide prevention. Governor Gordon previously sat on the board of Northern Wyoming Mental Health Center back in the day. And I think he may have served on the VOA's board as well. I'm not 100% sure. So he has an insight. And he has great staff like Jen Davis around him and others. And I mean, he's got the governor's challenge, which is specific to veteran suicide, that he, Jen Davis, and his office, getting stakeholders in systems, whether it's the VA and local community, how can we address veterans and veteran suicide? Fantastic initiative.
We do know that veterans
are
more likely to be experiencing a whole suite of different challenges at a more acute level than maybe others.
Yes. And it's not within their makeup nor their culture to reach out for help when they're struggling and feeling suicidal. Right? So there's the governor's challenge. There's a monthly newsletter that they're sending out from the governor's office about webinars and learning opportunities around mental health and suicide prevention. The second Governor's Mental Health Summit is coming up in Casper next month at the Art Museum there, which I'm hoping to get to this time. So again, a lot of it starts just getting people together to talk about what the solutions may or may not be, what's working and what's not working. And there are a lot of folks statewide. And so you ask me personally and professionally, am I hopeful? I am, because there's more statewide connection of we need to address this first and foremost. Let's have conversations and let's move it forward into all the different populations. So there's a great initiative, private initiative. Cheryl Folan down in Rollins is part of that, and it's called No More Empty Saddles, directed to the rodeo community and to the ranching community. You can find them on Facebook, Google No More Empty Saddles. Having conversations about life's hard right now, and rather than turning to drugs, alcohol, or I can't live like this anymore and ending my life, here's a community of support. So when we don't feel alone anymore, especially in those real manly places, because of those suicides in Wyoming, typically every year 70 to 80% are men. That's a dynamic we don't often talk about. I don't know why, but we don't. You know, here's a community of support. No More Empty Saddles, a wonderful initiative. Lucy Pauly at the Wyoming Department of Agriculture, she's a mediation specialist. The work that she's doing with AgriStress and their AgriSafe helpline as well. Let's talk. Let's provide resources. Let's connect. And so monthly, having roundtables of, hey, this is working, that's not working. Grace for Two Brothers in Cheyenne in that area of Wyoming has a voucher program where they will give a voucher. So if the finances are the reason that's holding you back from seeing Volunteers of America in Torrington, here's a voucher. We'll help you pay for it. Locally, our coalition has a counseling fund. If finances are a problem for you, reach out to me at Public Health. We'll figure out a way to do that.
So, Bill, you've talked about a lot of programs.
I like to talk a lot.
Initiatives, resources, and so on. Maybe somebody's heard something that they want to know more about. How do they connect with anything? Is there a central portal of some sort? What can they do? Do they call you?
Yeah. So, right. So I find myself as kind of the hub sometimes, and that's fine. My office is at Johnson County Public Health, and my office number is 307-425-6552. Okay. And also, folks
can go online.
Public health is on the Johnson County website. So if you wanted to go online and do that, that certainly is a way to reach out. Our Suicide Prevention Coalition, if someone wants to get involved, we meet monthly, the second Tuesday now of each month at noon rather than at 8 o'clock in the morning, hoping more people can make that. I can give you more information on that as well. Going back to veterans, my friends, Zach Owens, who's a recreational therapist up at the Veterans Home, those guys up there, as I've gotten to know them, they've started a veteran support group, a peer support group up there, and just recently are opening that up to veterans in the community. We've got a couple community vets now who are going up. That's Tuesday nights at 1900 hours. They've taught me how to say that correctly in military time. So, I mean, there's, again, you don't know what you don't know. And if you don't know what supports and resources are available, I don't know everything, but I'm happy to connect people. I'm very happy to connect people with those things. So,
and what I've heard you say is that there are not only a lot of resources that are available for people who may be moving towards a suicidal way of thinking and maybe thinking of even acting upon that, but there's also a lot of support for people who may have had a family member or a loved one mm-hmm. actually die by suicide. And so it's a whole range of different programs and initiatives and resources to help that. And maybe that is part of what we're seeing in our 22% decrease in suicide rates here in Wyoming. An encouraging number for sure.
I believe that, again, post-COVID, we are relearning how to reconnect. Reconnect individually, reconnect in community, and as we continue to grow in that connection, then perhaps no one can fall through the cracks, and that someone will notice, and someone will have a conversation, and someone will know where the resources are. That's pie in the sky for Bill, but you know what? We're going to keep pushing that water uphill with the fork until we've got enough forks pushing enough water up the hill that it gets over the crest and down the other side. And so, again, before we wrap up, Kate, Suicide Prevention and Crisis Lifeline is simply 988. You can call or text 988 to talk to a trained crisis counselor to help you, whatever that help is that you need.
Bill Hawley, thank you very much indeed for spending time with us, talking to us about suicide here in Wyoming, specifically in Johnson County, and what we can do to turn back the tide.
Thank you, Kate, for the time.